The 16th interview with Sarah Rosner on November 20th, 1973. Sarah was feeling better the date of this interview than she had been the previous two sessions. The interview focused primarily on her early years and the trip to the United States. She had never given the detailed story of this journey before, and since it had become very prominent in her scribblings during her European trip, which we had just begun to talk about, and since she was feeling better, it seemed a good time to go into this material. She talks about the splitting up of the family and the children going to the various relatives, her experiences during the 2 to 3 months that she was with her maternal grandmother and family, and then the move to Budapest, from Budapest to Zurich and on to Hamburg. First, they missed the boat and the experience of waiting a week for another boat. She then talks about the passage over, arriving at Ellis Island, and the arrival then in Chicago at the railroad station. She was very protected and attributes to herself a great deal of naivete and ignorance.
The Russian, you see, all those poor, Russian peasant, don't mess with the kapust, with the cabbage. I mean, it doesn't rhyme in English, but I mean, they put them down. So the same thing, I recall when the Galiziani used to come for one of those grapes for cure. They believe in grape cure. The Galiziano Jews, the rich ones.
Grape, you mean wine?
Grapes, not wine. They believed in a grape cure. So the rich Galiziano Jews used to come to the city where we live. I'm just telling you, I can think back now. And I was sold, I can analyze it now and realize how stupid, how ignorant, how unreal we were. I was. It was bred into you, in school and on the street and in the home. They were such rich people. They came for cure and they lived in there and they with diamonds and all that, and here I didn't have that teeth. And I spit on them, Galiziano, and they stunk on them. Then now I can compare what we with the white trash in the South, the Negroes. They make it superior. You don't compare yourself to them. You know, it all comes back to me. I trace my steps back and all that. Well, no, I hope everybody does at least repents what I did. I mean, to recognize them, the mistakes. In that sense, well, I'm just telling you, but the Hungarians indirectly, they were proud bastards, very proud. they are rebels. When I think back, they were rebels. They rebelled against 48. They got Kossuth, the hero. I know about it now. I certainly didn't know it when I was, I sang the songs, but I didn't know what it was all about. I prayed, I didn't know what I was praying. All that was inanimate. And it wasn't real to me. I was supposed to do it in that house too. Okay, darling.
Here, you know what I was going to go ahead last time and start asking you about your trip and the unions and the countries that you visited. But instead, what I'd like to do is get in detail the story of your coming over to this country. Because when you went to Europe, you kept scribbling how different it is, and you think back to what it was like when you came over. And you never told me in the very beginning, you never told me in detail about the trip over on the boat and when you first arrived in New York and before you went to Chicago. So I want you to tell me that today. Like, how you got from Hungary to Hamburg, then what the boat was like and what happened and all of that. Okay?
Well, I suppose I could start on it. I did tell you that in your own home, we were spread out. My parents left us at that time, all of us, all the 9 children were alive. My mother raised 9, crippled like myself. She raised 9. But, I don't know why in the hell I'm so tired. Is it because there's no air in here or what? Want to tell you a new...
Would you rather not talk today?
Oh, well, I think if you'd open the window, maybe.
Okay. Which window?
What do you want me to tell you? You want me to tell you exactly how we started out? I told you. I told you in your house. It came to pass that my father wrote the one sister that we had out here. If you went search for us, you'll see us in your dream. We're starving.
Now, how did the sister get here?
I don't know exactly the details. She came out. In those days, it wasn't so hard. It didn't. And now, if you go to New York, it cost you more than it cost at that time.
So she came out and she was working.
She came out here and she was a domestic worker. And she died, she was worth $150,000. And that's the one that I told you that my nephew's coming, and he was born 6 months after his father died. They had a junk shop.
So she was what, the next to the oldest one?
She was next to the oldest one.
Okay.
Her name was Lata. I've got a picture of her. It's so entwined, so mixed up things, isn't it? It's so involved. At any rate, she was she was out here about 2 years. And she married her cousin, a cousin of ours. This picture that I showed you. His mother's brother. That's an awful Because, well, at any rate, so she sent, by then, she had sent for my oldest brother, Morris, who had his parents to the age of 18. I got a letter, I'll show it to you. He wrote in Jewish later on. When I told you he was a Fitzko later,
When he came out, he had his payas still?
No. Oh. He went to Budapest, and then that ended.
So he came over?
So he was here. And the one that baked the cake, her mother, was also a domestic worker. She was the only one among 9 children that couldn't sign her name. Something happened to her. Even I tried. It came... Well, anyway, they were here. They sent for this older sister, the next to be older, sent for my father and mother. Because of that letter that my father wrote. That must have been in 1907. I don't remember what month, must have been around August or September, somewhere around that time. Must be around September. And my brother, Dave, who's 3 years my senior, he didn't want to go to school. He didn't want to learn Jewish, nor... And my father wasn't overly anxious to send him to public school. Only my mother. My mother wanted an education for all of them. She was. And he went to Budapest to my sister, to the rich sister. She had several stores, property of all sorts. So he was there already. Another sister of mine who came out must have been 1905. I can't recollect because I must have been about, I think, 11 years old, maybe less than that. And she was out here. She came out with 2 years, made enough money to come back to Hungary to marry a yeshiva bucher, a scholar.
What was her name?
Jenny. I got her picture out. Someday I'll get it together. She was with my sister in Budapest. Her husband was already out here. That in itself takes a volume to describe her life, her marriage. She had so many different propositions by men of wealth that wanted to, because of the name, but they weren't scholars, so there's no girl.
So she worked in order to marry him, and then
yeah.
They got married and he came over?
Yeah, because they couldn't make a go of it. And then she had a taste of a different life already.
Now, yes. How old was she?
Well, you want to know how I got here.
Okay, wait a second. First, give me the names of all the children.
give you the legal order system.
But that'll be easier.
Well, it's just,
the oldest?
Regina. Regina.
No, this queen.
Oh, yes.
So she was the oldest.
She was the oldest and loved the most. She was loved by both. Always, I remember Ma sitting at the stove in the here in Chicago, and she'd sing a song that goes, she'd have a horse that in 13 hours would run to Budapest. And it goes around there, and your mother and I would appreciate it. And she'd cry. And my father, the same thing, and they'd correspond all the time.
Now, she was 18 years older than you, Sarah?
She was 18 years.
Okay.
18, 19 years.
Okay, and then the next...
I was 6 old when she got married. She was 18 years old.
And then the next one...
The next one was Sally, Zlata. And after there was son died, then was Jenny. I'll give you the nine that were survived.
Now, Zlata's the one who was already in the United States, too?
That's the one that brought my parents out.
Okay.
Then there was Morris, Marshawn.
What was his name?
Marshawn.
Oh, Marshawn. Okay.
Morris.
Yeah.
And then there was, did I give you Jenny? Yeah.
Yeah, Jenny was before Morris.
Yes, and that was Morris. After Morris was Molly. After Molly was Dave. After Dave was Sarah. Fanny and Rose. You got nine there, right?
Yeah, okay. Now, Zlata, Morris.
No.
And...
Jenny
were all. Who were the three already over here?
Zlata, Morris, and Molly.
Oh, they were already here when they brought your folks over.
Then my parents came.
Okay, and Jenny was the one who came over and then went back.
Jenny, her husband came out in between all that. You see.
Oh, okay.
And she, in the meantime, she was in Budapest with my rich sister.
Okay. All right, I have it straight now.
Now, here's the big thing. My sister Rose, the baby, was 7 years of age. I think that's all. Yeah, she was seven. She must have been eight. I was almost 15. I wasn't quite 15 when my mother left. She was seven, eight.
Okay.
And Fanny was 3 years younger than me. And Dave was 3 years older than me. Dave was already by my sister in Budapest. Whether he worked in the business there, I don't recall. I don't know what. But he stayed with my sister then and then. So, my baby sister, Rose, was with my rich sister, and she cried day and night, and she got so thin they thought she would die. She was carried on from my mother. The three other sisters never left home, never moved away from mother. The others did go, you know, Jenny used to go to Budapest to earn some money working for my sister so she'd get some clothes. Molly stayed there and took care of her kids so she had enough to eat. Zlata, before she came to America, used to go there and work in the laundry. I mean, but the three of us, we'd rather starve than leave mother.
How far was the town that you lived from Budapest?
About 8 hours by train. It was an 8 hours ride by train. It's quite a distance. At least that's what I remember. That's how much I can remember. I was never there before going to America. Never, you see. But on holidays, my mother used to go quite often. She tried everything to try and make a living for the kids. We should have to eat. Sometimes she'd candle eggs and send it to Budapest and sell it that way. And other times she would make my sister buy wholesale candies that they didn't have in much sailors. And she would try everything to make ends meet. She took care of sick patients. She was a... that woman, what she didn't try. It was... well, anyways. So, my father and mother, they came out in 1907. As I said, I went to my mother's family. My grandmother was still alive. My mother's mother was still alive. And there was her two brothers and a sister. They were all pretty well, considering, there was plenty to eat, there was... I would rather starve and be with my mother than be. My sister, Fanny, was sent to my father's sister. She's a clean... she got along somehow. But my sister Rose carried on something. Oh, gosh. Then, you see, I couldn't go to school after, I didn't finish the fourth grade. And my mother didn't, she says, go the way you are. I didn't have a dress to put on. And I couldn't, and they were the Barron's children, I pointed out, I helped them get along. They got the credit for it, and that was such a mess. But you see, that it takes in so much territory. So I was taught how, so I was put into my, what they call it, a... learn how to sew, what they call it in Europe.
Like an apprentice program?
Well, it wasn't, I was an apprentice, sure. Get the story how...
when you went to your mother's family, what town were they in?
Homey.
And where was that in relation to where you used to live? How do you spell that?
Homey. H-A-L-M-I.
And how do you spell the name of the town you lived in?
Much Salish. Let me write it out.
N-A-G-Y.
I could soon write it out instead of that. I forgot.
And how big a place was this?
It must have been about 2,500, 3,000 population.
How do you pronounce it?
Much Salish.
Okay, so you went to this town, Homey, then?
From there I went to Homey, yeah.
Okay.
And from me into Kirai House. That's King's home. Kirai House. Kirai House. Kirai House.
Okay, and it was in Hawaii that you went to this school?
No, I didn't go to school at home.
This sewing place?
No, I met Silas.
Oh.
The rabbi's daughter and the banker's daughter, I learned sewing there.
Okay.
I learned how to thread the needle and make buttons, so I learned to sew. Never learned to sew, never made a dress for myself. But I learned the fundamentals I learned. So when I got to Harvey, they set me up with some dressmaker there. And what I learned dressmaking in Nut Sailors was clean, the air, it was just immaculate. I come there and there are a couple of kittens that stuck. And my sister, my uncle, my aunt there, I said, I can't. I wanted to puke all the time. I was upset anyways, being away from my mother. Well, so I quit. Anyways, that was that. Well, I didn't have to. See, they didn't force me. They were pretty well off, all of them. Besides, my grandmother was still there. She lived on the property. Her children owned the property. They owned half of Holman. She owned at one time half of Holman. They were very wealthy women. But they had the name. And certainly I didn't have to go hungry there. They're different from where my sister Fanny was, or my sister poor Rose was, with the rich sister of mine. I had the best place. I had plenty to eat and was clean. And I was respected, and they respected me. My mother's brother came in from Budapest. He lived in Budapest. And he came to visit his other brother. And I used to set the table, made myself useful in the house. He had a daughter, almost my age, maybe a year older than I was. Slept in the same bed with her. So I said, Uncle, wash your hand. He should go and say the bruchas, the prayers before. So he left so high. He says, he mentioned my mother's name. He says, see his daughter. Wouldn't let me eat this without a prayer. They looked up to the idea that I was brought up in a decent way.
So they weren't Orthodox then?
They were Orthodox. But see, this brother came from Budapest. They weren't that strict. And it made him feel good that I, a youngster, was telling my uncle that he should go and wash. I can just think about it. And then, as usual, I was almost 15 years of age, and here I was supposed to get my period, and I got terribly sick. You know, that always happens, you know, and my grandmother took me to a doctor, and I'll never forget. And I was hemorrhaging. I didn't know what the hell it was. My mother didn't tell me. She didn't prepare me. Nobody prepared me.
It was just a total shock?
What?
It was just a total shock?
Certainly it was an awful shock. You know, I was hemorrhaging. It was cold, there was no toilet in the house. I had to go out. I was clean. They had a clean place outdoors. The others didn't have it. They had it in Budapest. They had already modern facilities.
So what did you think was wrong with you, Sarah?
It turned out after when I was about 32, 33 years old, that I had a tumor. They said it was a cancer.
Oh, so when
I went to a doctor, and I was all right after this.
But then did your grandmother explain what menstruation was? Who finally told you what was happening?
Nobody. Nobody. I had to find my way myself. My grandmother took care of me. She took me to the doctor, and I recall he told me not to eat luxion. Pastry. I should eat what I eat, Mamalia. I never stopped eating it. But at any rate, what I'm going to tell you is that I was tops. I had the best. When it came for me to leave, they sent for us, my sister Molly. My sister Molly got tickets for the three of us. Rose came along with Jenny. They left before we did. A month or so before we did. Now, my father wrote to me, I should be sure and go, and before I leave, I should go and see the rabbi, Holly. But we never saw anything like it. You know, it's amazing the honor bestowed on a girl. They had an empty room, and they give you a card that you're here, and they may touch a plus bar Rosner, Lippmann Rosner's daughter is here, and they brought in cakes and drinks, and it was a terrible thing that the Rosners went to America. Goyim, you know, become Goyim. But the point that I want to make here is this. The difference between Holmi and Kirai House in Budapest, the different treatment, my mother's folks. It was my uncle, two uncles, and aunt. My grandmother, who was then she was 80, I think she was about 80 or maybe past 80. I think she was close to 100 when she died. I remember my mother cried so. she used to write to my mother in Chicago. She says, "Kedvash Lanyan, Amy Gale." She says, "Dear daughter, I'm still alive," in Hungarian. The reason I'm telling you this, that this is, I am 81, the Dutchman, and she was able to write. My grandmother, she was not illiterate. So you can understand that they were far more advanced than on my father's side.
Well, Sarah, why were you supposed to go see the rabbi? To get blessed before you left?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, after you got your period, did you have to go to the mikvah?
No. I wasn't married. Some of them did. I know. I'll tell you a story about that later. No, I never went to shul either. I didn't mention lecht. We didn't do that. No, as girls, not until we married. And some of the Russians, the Polish, the Galiciani used to do that. And I don't want to jump in for one thing. I'll never get through. You'll never get through with me, darling.
Okay.
I know. Yeah. Well, I want to tell you this. He gave me blessing and everything else. One gave me smoked lamb, one gave me smoked goose, one made cakes of all sorts. I had a sex full. And I wouldn't eat by my sister in Budapest. It wasn't kosher enough.
Wasn't kosher?
No. I didn't even drink. I didn't want to drink water there. No, strafe, everything. When I got there, they ate up everything and I had nothing left. You know, it was a treat for them. Where in the world did they get it in Budapest, something like that? They had a special mechanism for smoking geese liver with all kinds of stuff. They treated me royal. That was the other kids. My sister my sister Fanny was treated fairly well. I mean, she had everything was nice and clean, but didn't have the love, the recognition, or the consideration. Wasn't anything like.
Now, Sarah, how long did you stay in Halmi then before you went to Budapest? Now, Budapest was going to be, then you were going to be on your way.
Yeah, that was on your way. And this is when they started packing all this stuff up, and that was on my way to Budapest.
So how long did you stay in Halmi?
In Halmi? Must have been about 2 months, yeah. 3 months. Two, 3 months. Mm-hmm. But because I think my sister Mally, at that time it was easy, an installment. I paid for it. I don't know whether it was ever paid in full, but whatever was paid, I paid for. Here we are, the three of us. My brother had some kind of a wasn't a passport, but he was a tailor. He was going to Vienna. He had an address, some address to go to, and Fanny was his understudy. And I was nobody. I had nothing to show. But I had, they ate up all my stuff. All I had was vinegar or lemon and garlic. And what else? No passport, nothing. Now I have this package ready to go. I'm not going to go into detail because it's miserable to tell all the nonsense that transpired in Budapest. It's very makes me sick to think of it, not to talk, only talk about. When it comes to Paris, I'm going to the station already. Leaving first to Vienna and then on the way to we get to the station and my sister and her husband and my niece, that picture that you saw, my brother and sister, Fanny, they went on the train. I didn't know, and I'm standing there like a yokel. I am the nobody. She said, "Where you got in there?" And I have everything that whatever happened to me in Halmi, in nut service when I went to deliver the first dress in the church to my teacher from the first grade on. I refused to accept a tip. You know, I was too proud to take tips. And then I learned to take tips and I went to the saloon and had pretzels with beer and chocolate. I lived like they say, a Hadrishan took.
So you had all your scribbling?
Oh yeah, I had all that done. And before that, if I didn't have papers, I used to write on the back of the credential, chiffonier, whatever it was. She just threw that away. I started writing on it. Just throw that away. What do you want? I asked her, where shall I go? I didn't know so many trains. I saw a train. I used to go visit my grandmother with my father's side. We used to walk it most of the time. But once in a while I would take the train, go to Saraskirayas, where my sister Fanny. Why did I see so many
tracks
in such a palatial... She says, you go! I said, where should I go? She said, go! And if you don't go, she says, I'll hire you. She says to me, I'll hire you out to the... The others were all right, they didn't care, you see, but we were never away from my mother's apron. I said, the Duna is good enough for me. The Danube River, it wasn't far from there. And I meant it, see? I was relevant to do that, see, the pride. See, this is the point that I keep making to you and to myself, how stupid, how ignorant, and what else can I say but stupid? So what of it? Was that right for my other sisters to do it? Who the hell are you? But then I should do somebody, how does it work? I never did. Exporters we were, didn't wash no clothes. I said, yeah, you do. The dinner is good enough for me. Anyways, when she said that, I thought to myself, I'll take it. And the conductor was just hollering, all aboard, and German already. They were going to Vienna, the train was leaving Vienna. I jumped on the steps. I threw away all I had was left the basket. I had a fichel or whatever you call it, on my head, no head. I had my grandmother's dress that I wore that she gave me. I didn't have any clothes to speak of. And I jumped on the train. And the conductor said, where are you going? In German. And I looked in, and there was my sister and my brother. I said, I'm all right. So I didn't want to sit next to them, because the detectives would be around there. So I sat in the corner there. In the hot, I couldn't hide my face. After all, I was a young girl. And I couldn't have been too bad looking. I had black eyes, at least at that time. My nice hair, my face up to about 25 was very attractive. It was peaches and cream. And I didn't use any makeup. I started using a little part when I was, I think, 22, the first time I put powder on or something like that. I wasn't much for those things at any time. I remember when I sit down, a gentleman sits right next to me, started the question. He says, Fräulein in Hungarian, he says to me, where do you go? None of your business. Oh, he says, I shouldn't be so fresh. He says, I know you're going to Chicago. I don't know how I got out of it, but I got out of it somehow. Anyways, we get to Vienna. Finally we get to Vienna. What do I remember from Vienna? I don't know. I think we did look up those people that my brother had an address to.
Were they relatives?
No. Just people that somebody in the family knew. But I remember this. There was a big wagon, and I thought they were oranges. And they turned out, what do you call the other little ones?
Kumquat?
Not kumquat. Well, oh, for heaven's sakes. Well, anyways, it's in the orange family. And my sister goes, let's buy some, five pennies, two kites or whatever it was. And I never forget, to me it smelled like